All right, take your Bibles tonight. Turn with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. Do you have a favorite Old Testament Bible character? I think all of us could go through the Bible and think of our favorite Bible characters. Of course, Jesus being our favorite Bible character of all time. But what are some of your favorite Bible characters of the Old Testament? Of course, you got to start out with Moses, and then there's also David. And Elijah, and of course David being a man after God's own heart, and Elijah and Elisha. You got to think about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and all the great things that that they did. There has been a Bible character that has in this story in Exodus 33 that has really arrested my thoughts. And it's something I've been meditating on really now for about 3 weeks. And it's something that you just can't, I've really not been able to stop thinking about it. And in this passage of Scripture, there's really two things that I've kind of think. I think about the glory of God, and I think about the relationship between God and Moses. So tonight I want to kind of talk a little bit about both, okay? And this is something that I really don't want to stop studying and start meditating on, because this is something that's helped me realize something this week, is that I want to be part of a more intimate, personal relationship with Jesus Christ in my life. Is that your prayer? I mean, really, is that your prayer? I mean, we can say it. And I think we really do desire to have a more personal, close relationship with God. But are we really willing? Are we really willing to go the extra mile, to do what is necessary really to get to know God in a very personal, intimate way? And I believe here in Exodus 33, do we see some of the things that the story between God and Moses shows us here? So let's read just to begin. Exodus 33, look with me in verse number 12. And we'll read verses 12 down to verse 18. And I just kind of want to give you some thoughts from my study of the Scriptures for the last few weeks, okay? The Bible says, "And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight. And consider that this nation is thy people." Now that's what Moses has just said to God. Now let's see what God says to Moses. And he said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." Now, let me do a little bit of backtracking here to kind of bring you up to what's going on. We know the backstory to this. The nation of Israel has just committed a great sin in making of the golden calf, and God got very upset about that. In fact, there was a plague that came and wiped out 3,000 people because of this sin. And God is really upset. He's just not upset, he's mad. And in fact, we'll see it where he calls them a stiff-necked people. That means they were rebellious. Just like an ox would be rebellious not doing what he's supposed to do. And this is exactly the betrayal that God is trying to get us to realize, that these people, these Israelites, were very rebellious people. And then he says, here's, God says, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. It seems to me, by studying this, reading and reading this, that God is speaking directly to Moses here. I will be with thee. More singular that he's with Moses. He's kind of turned his back and kind of said, all right, Hebrews, there's some things that we've got to make right here. And then in verse number 15, he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. So here's Moses basically saying, listen, if you're not going to go with us, I don't want to go either. I like that thought. Anywhere we go with the Lord, we always need to go with him with us and not try to make it on our own. Isn't that right? We don't need to do that. We need to go with him with us. In fact, more than that, we need to follow him. And I'll get to more about that in just a few minutes. And then verse number 16, for wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? It is not in that thou goest with us, so shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And verse number 18 says, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. As I studied this, there were some very, very interesting things that really stuck out to me. Of course, the glory of God, which I'll talk a little bit more about here in just a few minutes, but more importantly, I think it's the relationship that Moses had with God. And as I look at this and I read this and I've studied this, it really makes me appreciate the relationship that Moses had with God. And not just the relationship that Moses had with God, the very close personal relationship with God that he had. But not only that, he wanted more. He wanted more. He just didn't want the average come to Sunday church, come to Sunday night, come to Wednesday night. What Moses really desired was that intimate, close fellowship, as it says back in verse number 11, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And that's the title of the message tonight. As a man speaketh unto his friend. Now, there are different types of friendships that we all have, isn't it? There are close fellowship, close relationship with friends we have that were around all the time, many people from church. There's distance friendships from people that we have in other places that maybe we're able to talk to them on the phone once in a while, or maybe FaceTime or something like that. But there's nothing as close to a fellowship as someone that you live with and that you're having a relationship with on a daily basis. There's nothing like that. And it's that intimate relationship that where you can feel like you can talk to somebody like a friend, and that you can talk about anything. And isn't that really the type of relationship that we ought to have with God? That we're able to talk to him about anything and anytime. And we've talked about this before as being, that is what prayer is. And the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5 that we ought to pray without what? Ceasing. Or we ought to have some type of prayer or some type of communication with God where we're always seem to be talking to him about anything and everything that's going on in our life. Is that what we're doing? So as we look into this passage of Scripture, there's some very interesting things that I see. I see God's guidance. I see God's grace. and I see God's goodness. Let's go back and look in chapter 33 and look in verse number 1. The Bible said, the Lord said unto Moses, depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it. Now, here what we see in this passage, verse 1, is that God is going to fulfill the promise that He's already made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God was really wanting to destroy them and just start all over with Moses. And what did Moses do? As an intercessor, he just said, no, God, please don't do that. Because if you do that, you're going to make a mockery to the Egyptians that you wanted to wipe them out. They wanted to wipe them out, I've got cotton mouth right now. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Okay. Here it is. The Egyptians said, hey, we won. If God would have wiped them out, the Egyptians could have said, hey, we won. But God didn't do that, did He? God says, I'm going to keep the promise that I made to your forefathers. Even though you don't deserve it, I'm going to fulfill my promise. And then in verse number 2, He gives them some help and protection. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanites and the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. So God promised them not only He would help them and He'd be with them, but He would even give them help and protection. And then verse number 3, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. Now, as I study this, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. We all know that there was a lot of blessing to the Jews for getting to the land of Canaan. Is that right? We know it was a land that was filled with milk and honey, and it was the blessings. But I feel like, and by reading this, that the nation of Israel was more concerned about the blessings of God than they were of the presence of God. Let me say that again. They were more concerned with the blessings of God. And boy, had God not blessed them? I mean, He gave them water. He gave them manna. Their clothes did not wear out. I mean, there were so many blessings that God, they had a need. What did God do? He fulfilled that need. And I really believe that the Israelites got to a place where they were so rebellious at God, they really wanted to go back to Egypt and be back under the bondage that they were in Egypt. But instead, God pulled them out of that to take them to a land of blessing, just that they would be blessed in a wonderful, mighty way. But here they are here. They're grumbling. They've complained. They've grumbled. They've complained. And God says, listen, I'm not going to go up in the midst of thee. We know that this was before the tabernacle, but God always met in the midst, but that's not the case anymore. God says, listen, I'm not going to be in the midst of thee, for thou art stiff-necked people. And He says, if I was, I'm going to get mad at you, and I'm going to wipe you off the face of the earth. And then notice verse number 5. For the Lord said unto Moses, say unto the children of Israel, ye are a stiff-necked people. If you've noticed that that's the second time He's told them about being a stiff-necked people. I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore, now put off thine ornaments from thee, and that I may know what to do unto thee. And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb. And Moses took the tabernacle, pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp. Well, let me stop right there before I get to there. So they realize that they've messed up. And here they are. They're wanting to make things right. They're wanting to repent. And it says here that they put off the ornaments from thee. Now, you remember back when they made the golden calf, Aaron had asked them to take of their earrings and all the different things and give to him so they may make a golden calf. So it seems to me that these ornaments, that they were, these were things that they really admired, that made them their identity in what they had. They had a lot of riches that they had brought from Egypt, we know. Most of those things were used later on for the tabernacle and all those things. But this is a showing of some type of repentance and remorse for what they did. And let's go ahead and go down to verse number 7. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. It's also called the tabernacle of meeting. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out into the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. So here it is. Here's what they're doing. Moses is upset about what's going on. And he says, listen, God's not going to be in me, so I'm going to take my tent. I'm going to go outside the camp. And I'm going to meet with God out there. And I want you to notice what happened here. Notice that phrase, and it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation which was without the camp. Who all could go? Anybody who wanted to. It said, whoever and everyone which sought the Lord went out into the camp which was without the camp. Anyone could go, but we only find out there was only two people that went. Moses and Joshua, which we'll see in just a few minutes, okay? Moses and Joshua. And it says in verse number 8, and it came to pass when Moses went out into the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood, every man at his tent door, and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. So here, get the picture here. Moses and Joshua have gone out. Everybody has watched Moses go out there. Anybody could go, but those are the only two that went. They went out there, and the Bible says the presence of the Lord came down and stood at the tent there where Moses was, and they met with each other. That's what verse number 9. And the Bible says in verse number 10, and all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent door. Isn't it amazing that they stood right where they were and they worshiped? I find that kind of interesting. They could have went to that place of the meeting with God, but what did they do? No, they stayed right where they were at instead of going and meeting with God. And I thought about that and thought, man, that's how a lot of people in Christianity are today. They want to worship God, but they want to worship God in their own way. And we can't worship God in our own way. We got to worship God the way He wants us to worship. Isn't that right? And that really helps me understand that the intimacy that God and Moses had when they were there, I don't know what they were talking about. The Bible doesn't say what they were talking about. But we see how God guided Moses to take the tabernacle meeting outside the camp for a symbol that, hey, listen, things are not right yet. You may have felt remorse about what you did, but I don't know whether or not you've really repented of what you did. So that was the guidance. Then we see God's grace. Let's look at verse number 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Moses said, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send me. Here's Moses saying, God, you haven't told me who you're going to send with me. More important than who you're going to see, I want to develop that close personal relationship with you. And notice what he says. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name. and hast found favor, found grace in thy sight. He wanted to know God. But not only did he want to know God, he wanted to know God in a more personal, intimate way. Now, we know that Moses was a friend of God. We know that. And their relationship was probably unlike any person between God and humans. I mean, who else face shined when he came down from the mountain than what Moses is? His face, the Bible says, it shone. We can see the visible signs of him being alone with God and meeting with God. And he says, now show me, I want to see this. If I found grace in thy sight. Now look in verse number 13. Now therefore, I pray thee, I have found grace in thy sight. Show me now thy way, that I may know thee. Did you notice that? That I may know thee. That's the same idea that the apostle Paul wrote in Philippians 3:10 when he said that I may know thee. And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being made conformable unto his death. What was he saying? I want to know thee better. I want to know you more. I want to be so close to you. I want to know you intimately. And consider that this nation is thy people. God was saying, listen, I'm ready to wipe off these people and start all over with you, Moses. Moses said, no, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. These are your people. Have you noticed that the idea of grace here? What is grace? Grace is God's unmerited favor, right? Something that we don't deserve. That God freely gives to us because we're his children, right? And you'll see the word grace in verse number 12. You'll find it in verse number 13. You'll find it in verse number 16. And you'll find it in verse number 17. All speaking about grace. We've been given a lot, haven't we? Haven't we? God's been good to us. God has shown himself faithful to us, hasn't he? But how faithful have we been to him? How much have we gone out of the way of thinking of being faithful to God when he's been so faithful to us? And then look down at verse number 18. Not only do we see God's guidance and God's grace, but we see God's goodness. He says, verse number 18. I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Show me thy glory. And God does it. Now, Spurgeon said that this is the greatest request a man has ever made to God. The greatest request that man has ever made to God. I would agree with him on that. And how could... Is there anything greater that we could ask God for than his glory? Show me thy glory. Well, let's read about it. Look at verse number 19. He said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. I will proclaim thy name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me that thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in a cliff of the rock and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Now, there's a lot of things here that's heavy, okay? In fact, the word glory means heavy, all right? Now, what did God show Moses? We're all wondering that. What did God show Moses? Well, to help us understand what Moses saw, God had to put it in ideas where we could comprehend it. We all know that the Bible says His ways are better than our ways and His thoughts are greater than our thoughts, right? We cannot, because of our finite minds, comprehend God. We just can't. He's a good God. But I really love this, because what did he see in His glory? He said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy upon whom I will show mercy. So He says, I'll let you see my back parts. Now, keep in mind that God does not have body parts, okay? But why? Because God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. So what did he see? What did he see? Again, God's trying to help us understand in ways that we can understand all that God is. What I believe that God showed Moses was His attributes. His goodness, His grace, His mercy, His omnipotence. Now, there are a lot more characteristics of God that I can know. Their holiness, all those things. But how can we only see them? We can only see them by how God has already displayed them to us as people. Let me make it a little bit more simpler and say this. We can only see the effects of God in our life. You look back at your life, folks. You look back at your life and you can see how God orchestrated this through your life. Isn't that right? Your salvation, maybe your salvation, maybe you coming and coming to Worth Baptist Church, maybe there's just so many aspects. And that's what makes this so interesting, because God is really part of our whole life, isn't He? I look back, and I look back in my life and to the day that I got saved at the age of 6. And then I look back and see how God brought me to meet a man by the name of Mike Coleman that invited me to church. And I went to church. And that was after being out of church for a little bit with my family. And then all of a sudden, the Lord really started just exploding in my life how I wanted to honor Him and revere Him and walk in His will instead of in my will, and how God orchestrated all things. I can only see what God has done and is doing in my life. I don't know what it is about my future, because I can't see that. That's not here. And we know that Moses had a face-to-face relationship with God, But what God is saying is that my glory is so great that if I were to show you everything, guess what? You couldn't handle it. But you know what? God did allow us to see a glimpse of His glory. And can I show you that real quick as we close? I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. And verse number 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment as white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah. Who was there? Moses. This is so cool. Talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto the Lord, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elias. And here's another instance of where where Peter opens his mouth and inserts his foot. Okay? Wow. And then notice what happened. Yet while he spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise, be not afraid." When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. God's glory was exemplified in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the flesh that Jesus put on was a covering that covered the glory of what Jesus is as being God. This is so cool. It was like God unzipped the flesh to allow the glory of God to shine as a sun. You know, we know that we're getting ready to see an eclipse here in a few weeks. I guess we'll see it. Hopefully we see it, okay? But we all know that we can't look at the sun because it'll damage our eyes, right? But could you imagine that the glory of God is brighter than what our sun is? That's just great. And God allowed us to see Jesus in His glory. Allowed Peter, James, and John to see this. And the Bible says that the bright cloud overshadowed them. It was like this was something that was really, 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 really cool. You know, I mentioned a while ago about something that I didn't want to miss, I didn't want to skip. But if we went back to verse number 11, when Moses and God were speaking together, I mentioned there was two people there, remember? Moses and Joshua. And look at verse number 11. It says, "But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle." Who else was there? Joshua was. And could you imagine what Joshua was thinking with hearing Moses and God talk about just things? Have you ever said you'd like to be in a fly on the window of certain places? Haven't we all said that? I'd love to be a fly in the room to hear what was going on. Could you imagine what that conversation would have been like? Oh man, that would have been cool, wouldn't it? And here's Peter, James, and John. They were asleep. The other passage of Scripture said that they were asleep, and they were awakened by this conversation between Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. Man, would love to have been there. I would love to have been there. Would you? And I'm sorry, none of this may have made sense to you, but it sure has meant a lot to me. Because I desire, and I pray this is your prayer, that you'll get a new, fresh relationship with Jesus that you've never had before. I think of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, which is, we always use that verse having to do with revival. "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and" what? "Seek my face." Moses and God had many face-to-face conversations. They were in that close fellowship. Have you ever noticed a mom that's pregnant? It seems like her face is always radiant. Why? Because she has a new life inside of her. You know, and when we show the presence of the Lord inside of us, there will be a glow to us as well. You know what? It is so easy for us to get so involved in this world that we totally forget about our relationship with the Lord. We don't spend time with Him like we ought to. We're busy here, we're busy there, we're doing this, we're doing that. And we never really stop and just... It's like we go in and out of the presence of God. We're in and out, in and out. And we're more out than we're in. So the question I want to ask you tonight is really this. Are you just happy just being called a Christian? Do you really desire God in your life? Or do you really want just His blessings? Do you really want Him? As Paul said, that I may know not His blessings, but that I may know Him. B.R. Lakin said the revival is just falling in love with Jesus over and over again. And you know what? I think that that's just something that we have to do on a daily basis, not just every Sunday. We have to do every day. So my question to you, do you have a passion like Moses for God's presence and not just as necessarily His blessings? Now I know that with His presence comes blessings. But we ought to want Him more than we want His blessings. Let's bow our head. Lord, thank You for what You showed. There is so much here. But Lord, I am so much thankful for what You showed me about the relationship between Moses and God. And Lord, I desire that for my own personal life. And I pray that everyone here would as well. As every head bowed, every eye closed, let me ask you that question. Do you want God for just His blessings, or do you really want God? I pray that all of us would examine our hearts tonight to see really what we want. That I may know Him, not just His blessings, but that we may know Him. Father, I pray that You bless the message tonight. Lord, You'd help us to examine our hearts. Really wonder whether we really want Your blessings without You, or want the blessings with You. So Lord, help us tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.